Okay, boys and girls, let's close our eyes and put our hands together and let's talk to God and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for this, your day, a day that you've kept specially for us so that we'll stop all the stuff that we usually do with our work and we'll take time to come to your house and to open your word and to pray to you and to be with you. We thank you that this is the Lord's Day. And every time we have the Lord's Day, we remember Jesus and his death and his resurrection. The fact that he didn't stay dead, but he rose from the dead and is alive. And we thank you that because he is alive, all of us can be alive in our hearts in this world and we can be alive forever when we're trusting in Jesus. We thank you for the psalm that we sung and how it speaks to us about how we are to follow Jesus and he guides us through life. We thank you that he not only guides us through life, but he guides us through death into life that never ends in heaven. And Lord, we pray that you would help us to trust Jesus and that you would help us to follow Jesus and help us to know the happiness and the joy that comes from knowing that your promises are true. So we pray, Lord, for each other today as we're gathered here. You know every one of our hearts. And we thank you, Lord, that you help us as we come to you. We pray for those today who may be sad in their hearts and who may miss people who once were in this world with them and now have gone from this world. We thank you that you are the God who comforts us when we lose people who die. But we thank you that when they are trusting in Jesus, we are told that they do not really die, but they go to live with him forever. We thank you that that's what's promised to us too, if we believe. So help us to believe. Be with those who are sad. We pray that you would be with those who are sick today. Some people who would want to be with us and who are not with us, who may be in their homes and who may be in hospital. We ask, Father, that you would help them and that you would heal them, if that's your will for them. And Lord, that they would know that you are with them, even where they are just now. We pray, Lord, for those who don't know clearly the way ahead. And we thank you that you are the God who has a plan for our lives. And we pray that you would guide each one of us. And we pray especially for Angus and for Kirsty. And as they think about the future, and as they wonder where you're leading them, we pray that you would go before them and that they would follow you. And Lord, that they would know that you are with them every step of the way. So we pray for them, Lord. We thank you for the YF weekend away and for all the fun that was had and the teaching that the young people received. And we ask, Lord, that you would be at work in each one of their hearts. And we ask, Lord, that you would be at work in each one of our hearts, from the Sunday school here today to everyone through the different ages. Those who come every week, those who maybe have just started coming, others, Lord, who are here visiting, we ask that you would be with each one and that you would watch over them and that you would help them. We ask now, Lord, that you would be near to us and as we read the Bible and as we sing and as we pray, we ask, Lord, that we would know that you are with us and we pray that Jesus would be lifted up high in all that we do in this day. Hear our prayers. Take away, Lord, our sin. We admit that we are sinners. We say the wrong things. We do the wrong things. We in our hearts, Lord, are sinners. But we thank you that Jesus came and he died to take our sin away and to make us your friends forever. So help us, Lord, to lift Jesus up high in all our thoughts and our words and the things that we do in this service today and indeed in our whole lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Peggy is going to come now. She's not quite one of our Sunday school, but she's just a recent graduate from Sunday school. And she's going to read a bit of the Bible from John chapter 21. And so let's listen to God's word.
So John 21, verse 15. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, "Do you truly love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him for the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. I tell you the truth. When you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." Peter turned and saw that the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. This was the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper and had said, "Lord, who is going to betray you?" When Peter saw him, he asked, "Lord, what about him?" Jesus answered, If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me."
Thank you, Peggy. Do you remember the last four words that Peggy said there? What did Jesus say? Okay, you didn't. But you're going to remember it by the end, aren't you? Boys and girls, I want to ask you a question to begin with. There are a few questions. First one is, what's your favourite meal? Is it breakfast or lunch or dinner? Lois?
Macaroni.
Macaroni. Okay. And do you have that for breakfast or lunch or dinner? Lunch and dinner. Yeah. Jono, what's your favourite? Breakfast or lunch or dinner? Dinner. Lasagna. Now, why, if we're having lasagna, if you hide in under the chairs, then maybe you'll be able to get a portion. So, what other meals do you like? So, we've got one who likes dinner. Lois, what's your favourite? Breakfast, lunch, or dinner?
Lunch.
Lunch. What about anyone else? I've got some sweets to encourage you. Yeah. But you're not getting through really well yet. Dylan?
Breakfast.
What's your favourite breakfast?
Pancakes.
Katie? Lunch and dinner?
Just dinner.
What's your favourite dinner? What's that?
Mashed potato.
Mashed potato. You have to get that in the menu, teeny. Michael, what's your favourite? Lunch or breakfast or dinner?
Pizza.
For lunch and breakfast and dinner?
No. Dinner.
Oh, dinner, pizza. Yeah, Ailey.
Lunch.
What's your favourite lunch? Think about that one, John. Pardon? Can't remember. I hope it's not an apple because you've got a tooth that's hanging on by a thread there.
Dinner.
Favourite dinner?
Pizza.
John Roddy?
Breakfast.
Pancakes. Emily? What's your favourite lunch or dinner?
Sausages.
What about over here? I think, see if I asked over here, they'd be saying things like, what about you? What about Alistair? Potatoes.
Breakfast.
Bran flakes? Interesting. Bran flakes. If I asked over here, they'd be saying my favourite dinner is marak, black marak, and guga, and sheep's head. You ever tried sheep's head? Yeah, exactly. They eat it in this. Now, boys and girls, if you were listening closely in that reading, what we heard was Jesus, and what we saw was Jesus. And Jesus was in that reading. Did you notice what he was doing in that reading? Ailey?
He was asking
Peter asking Peter. Jesus was asking Peter if he loved him. We'll come to that in a wee second. Michael, I was actually looking for that answer that you said. I think I heard it.
Having breakfast.
He was having breakfast. Did you notice that? Jesus, who had been on the cross to die for our sin, did he stay dead? No, he rose from the dead. He rose from the dead. He came back to life. And then he came to find his disciples quite a few times. And on this time that Peggy read, he was making them breakfast. Did you remember what he was making them for breakfast? Jonah? Bread and fish it was. Bread and fish. He made them bread and fish for breakfast. And he ate with them. Imagine how amazing it would be to have Jesus cook you breakfast. And in the company where Jesus was, were some of the disciples. And one of the disciples who was there was a man called Peter. And in the last few days in Peter's life, things had not gone so well. Sometimes we get times, don't we? And we do things and we say things and we wish we hadn't. And Peter had a few bad days. Jesus was going towards the cross. He'd been arrested. He wasn't quite taken to the cross yet. But Peter was there and he was watching Jesus as he was getting closer and closer to the cross. And a little girl came up to Peter and she said to him, "I recognize you. You're one of Jesus' disciples, aren't you?" And what did Jesus say? What did Peter say? Did he say, "Yes, I am"?
No.
No, he didn't, did he?
No.
Peter said, "No, I am not one of Jesus' disciples." Because he was scared because everybody had turned against Jesus and the disciples. And then a second time he was asked the question, "You are one of Jesus' disciples, aren't you?" And Peter said, "I am not." And he got a bit angrier. And the third time he was asked again, "We saw you with Jesus. You are one of his disciples." And Peter even said swears to try and get people to believe that he was not one of the disciples. We've got a pretty full church and there's a cat trying to get in the back window. Anyway, it's gone. So, Peter. Think about Peter for a second. There's Peter, and he's sitting down, and Jesus is cooking breakfast, and he's serving breakfast to all the disciples, and some of them would have been probably quite happy to see Jesus, but a bit scared. But Peter, how do you think Peter felt when he said three times that he didn't even know Jesus? How do you think Peter felt when he saw Jesus sitting in front of him? Dylan?
Ashamed.
I think Peter would have felt ashamed. He would have felt ashamed about what he said and did about Jesus, because Jesus saw Peter and he heard Peter and he knew exactly what Peter had did. And then Jesus came and he came to that place where he was making breakfast and he said, "I want to speak to Peter." What do you think? What do you think Jesus had to say to Peter? Why do you think Jesus wanted to speak to Peter? What do you think? Katie? Well, that's the right answer. See, when I've done something wrong, and somebody says, "I want to speak to David McLeod," I think, "Oh no, going to get a row." Remember in school, Lucy, deal with that please, would you? You're the cat woman. It's amazing the number of things that cause distraction in the family show. I've never had a cat before. Sometimes in school, you ever done something naughty in school? And then somebody comes to the class and says, "Bella has been called for in the head teacher's office." And you would think, oh no, I'm going to get a huge row. And Peter might have thought, Jesus has come and he's going to give me a huge row. But Katie, it's right. He hadn't come to give him a huge row. He came to Peter and he wanted to speak to Peter because he knew how sore Peter's heart was. And he loved Peter. And he wanted to make Peter better in his heart. And think about this, how kind Jesus is. Think about how kind Jesus is, John. How kind he is. Have you ever let Jesus down? Put your hand up if you've ever let Jesus down. I have. Lots and lots. They're all perfect on this side. But I have lots and lots of times I've let Jesus down. Maybe you've let Jesus down. Maybe you've been in the playground one day. And some of your friends, the cool friends, have said to you, you don't believe all that stuff about Jesus, do you? You know they're wanting to laugh at you. And you do believe in your heart. But you don't want them to laugh. And you might say, no. The second you say it, you think, oh, I shouldn't have said that. Because you know you've let Jesus down. That's what Peter had done. He'd let Jesus down. He'd sinned. And so Jesus came to help him. And Jesus comes today, in here, into this room, to help us. He's not come to make us breakfast, but he's come to give us the food of his word, the Bible. To speak to our hearts, so that our hearts could be made right and better. So, boys and girls, back to the story. Trying to get back to what we were talking about, thinking about. So, who came to see Peter? Lewis? Jesus came to see Peter. And what kind of things did Jesus say to Peter? That's the next thing I want to think about. And let's do a wee test on Peggy McKellar. Where is she? Peggy, where are you? It's over there. Let's put your bit of paper away. Do you remember, Peggy, the last thing that Jesus said to Peter?
You must follow me.
You, Peter, must. This is very important, Peter. Follow me. And that's what I want you to remember today, whether we're very young or whether we're a bit greyer. Jesus said to Peter, Jesus says to us, you must follow me. Just four words to remember. Now, on this table here, boys and girls, I have some books. Who are they for? Jonah? They're for you, aren't they? They're for you, and I know they're for you because if I open up some of these books, I can see names in these books. I can see Bethany's name in one of these books here. I can see another name in here, and I can see another name in here. These books are for you. They're not for anyone else. They're not for me. They're for you. You've got your name on them. Now, sometimes James comes to our house, doesn't he? And he puts things through the letterbox. And when these letters come through, do you open them all? You shouldn't. Do you open them all? Do you open them all? You don't open them all. You open the letters, Jonah. You open the letters that are for you. And Jesus came to Peter, and he didn't come with a letter, or he didn't have a letter sent to Peter through a postman. Jesus came to Peter, and he didn't come with a book and a presentation, but he came straight to him. And he looked him in the eye, just the same as I'm looking you in the eye just now. And he spoke to him. And there was one point, And Peter got distracted. See, when the cat came out of the window, everybody turned around. Not just you guys, but everyone over here too. Everybody's craning their neck, trying to pretend they're not looking. But they're all looking as you hear the kind of meow, meow, scraping out the window. They all got distracted. And there was one point, and Jesus was speaking to Peter, and Peter got distracted because he saw his friend John. And he said, Jesus, what about John? What do you have to say to John? And Jesus says, never mind about John, Peter. I have my own plans for John. You must follow me. I'm speaking to you, Peter, not to John. What's this, boys and girls? It's the Bible. And it's a giant letter. And it's from who? And who's it for? It's for all of you. And it's for all of you. And it's for me. This is God's giant love letter. And it's to you. You probably don't get too many letters through the post. And sometimes, if like Jono, you get the letter and you start to open it, somebody might say, give that over here. It's not for you. God has made very clear that this letter is for you, boys and girls. Who's got Mark 13:14? Is it Bella? Lucy's got it. Can you read that verse, please? Now, boys and girls, you listen especially to this one.
Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these.
One more time.
Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these.
Okay. Maybe just one more. So we've got it clearly.
Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these.
Thank you, Ruthie. I hope you got that three times, boys and girls. Jesus said, let the little children come to me. I want to speak to them. Other people were saying, boys and girls, get out of the way. This is important stuff Jesus is speaking about. It's not for you. And Jesus says to the disciples, let the little children come to me. Don't stop them. I want to speak to them. And God decided, boys and girls, that you would be here today. Everyone, whether we're in the Sunday school or the YF, or whatever age we're at, God decided that he would have us sit in one of these chairs today where his word would be opened, and if we're hearing, he's speaking to you. Jesus says to Peter, you must follow me. And Jesus says to me, and he says to you, you, not anyone else, never mind the cat, never mind what's happening next Tuesday, never mind the kind of shoes the person 3 along from you is wearing, I'm speaking to you, says Jesus, and you must listen, because it's important. And Peter was listening. So what did Jesus have to say to him? Well, we'll think about that. We were just singing, boys and girls, weren't we? What was the words we were saying? I what? I heard. Dylan? I heard the voice of Jesus say, keep going, come unto me and rest. I heard the voice of Jesus say, come unto me, come to me. And really that's what Jesus was saying to Peter. He was saying, come to me, Peter. I know what you did, Peter. I know the things that you said, that you shouldn't have said. I know about your sin. I saw you. I heard you. And I know how sorry you are for your sin. I can see your heart, Peter. And I know you really do love me, Peter. So come to me. And follow me. said Jesus to Peter. You, Peter, must, it's very important, Peter, follow me. And you know, that's what a Christian is. A Christian isn't someone who feels something about Jesus so much. A Christian isn't even someone who has a lot of knowledge of the Bible, because we can have a whole lot of knowledge about the Bible and we can have had a feeling in our hearts about Jesus. But a Christian is someone who's following Jesus day by day and year by year. That's what a Christian is. Not someone who just feels something, but someone who's following Jesus all the way through life. Now, here's a question, and I'm going to give you some sweets for answering this question. This is a tricky one. How could Peter follow Jesus? Because in just a very short while, Jesus was going to disappear up into the clouds and into heaven. And then he would be gone from this world. And so people wouldn't be able to see and feel and touch Jesus. Jesus, Peter couldn't follow him like he used to follow him by keeping his eyes on him and walking in a certain direction. So how could Peter follow Jesus? All the hands are up now, eh? Let's take them one by one. Ellie? Reading the Bible, yeah. They had the Old Testament then. Lois? Pray, yes. Loving him, yes. Good answer. Listening to him? How would you listen to him? For all the things that Jesus said, he'd remember them. The Holy Spirit would help him remember them, yeah.
He'd be forgiven.
You've got three. Ah, yeah, sorry. Terrible how it all stuck together, you know. Katie? Pardon? Obeying, that's a very important one. Obeying him, yes. Who else has got their hand up? Let me see them. Caitlin? Trusting him. Excellent. Michael, sorry.
Be good.
You missed that. The hand was like that. James said, be good. Take one. Good answer, Michael. That's one of the answers I was looking for. Telling other people about Jesus, yes. Yeah. Dylan? Respect him, honour him, yeah. Tell him. Pardon? Going to worship him, that's right. So these are all different ways that Peter could follow Jesus. He couldn't follow him by walking along the street, but to follow Jesus, it means to trust Jesus. It means to ask him in our hearts to take away our sin. We don't hide our sin. We tell Jesus that we're sinners. We tell him how bad we are. And we say, Lord Jesus, please take it away. You died to take sin away, so please take my sin away. And to follow Jesus means to obey Jesus. To do what he says. To be good. To try and do the things that he would want us to do and say the things that he would want us to say. To live lives that are like him. And how can we know what Jesus is like? Well, we only know what Jesus is like by reading the Bible, because this is where he shows himself to us. So if you and I want to follow Jesus today in Tarbert, then what do? Well, we trust him. And we honour him. And we read our Bibles and we pray. And we ask him to take away our sin and to come into our hearts. Here's a game I want you to play. Do you know the game Simon Says? We're almost finished. You know the game Simon Says? So you only do the thing if Simon says it. If I just say it without saying Simon says it, you don't do it. Is that right? Yeah, that's how it works. Simon Says, stand up. Simon says, sit down. Simon says, stand up. Sit down. Oh. Simon says, stand up. Simon says, scratch your head. Simon says, do a turn. Jump. Okay, that's got you awake again. Sit down. Simon says, sit down. Now, the key to that game is you only do things if Simon says you do them. And if you and I want to live a Christian life well, we only do the things that Jesus says we should do. See, in this world, boys and girls, you'll have figured this out already. Even when you're little and you're in school, there's certain things that you're told, and you're told to believe them, but Jesus doesn't say them. Some people will tell you who made the world and who made you and how they made you and all these different things, how you should live and who you should marry. And some of the things that you and I are told, we shouldn't listen to. And we shouldn't obey. So how do we know what we should listen to and what we should obey and what we should decide not to listen to and not to obey? How do we know? Not what Simon says, it's what who says? Jesus. It's what Jesus says. And how do we know what Jesus says?
Bible.
The Bible. So we need to be very often reading the Bible. We want to live wisely. It's about what God says to us. It's what Jesus says to us. And Jesus said to Peter, and Jesus says to you, and Jesus says to me, you, what does he say to us? You must follow
me.
Let me hear that again. What does Jesus say to us?
Must follow me.
One more time.
You must follow me.
Who's you?
Me.
Me. Everyone says me. Jesus says you. Not him, not her. You. You must
follow me.
You must. Don't think this is not important, says Jesus. This is very, very important. You must listen and you must follow me. Now, we're just about to finish, boys and girls. One more minute. But I want to finish by asking for your help. Because there'll be some people sitting here and everywhere, and they'll be sitting thinking, well, I don't know if I want to follow Jesus. I'll sit in the chair here. But I'm not sure if I want to follow Jesus. Why should I? Why should I follow Jesus? And I want you to tell us three reasons why we should follow Jesus. Who's got number three on the sheet? Who's got 1 John 4? Bella, you come up. Nice big voice. Now here's the question, Bella. Why should I follow Jesus?
Because Jesus loves us.
Pardon?
Because Jesus loves us.
Because Jesus loves us. How do you know?
This is how God shows he loves us, his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into this world that we might live through him. This is love, that not that we love God, but that he loves us and that he sent his unknown atoning sacrifice for our sins.
Thank you very much, Bella. Why should we follow Jesus? Bella told us, because he loves us. And how do we know he loves us? Because he sent his son Jesus into this world to show us how much he loved us and tell us how much he loved us through the cross. That's one reason. Second reason. Why should we follow Jesus? Who's got Jeremiah 29? Dylan, out you come. Good lad. So Dylan, why should we follow Jesus? Why should we follow Jesus?
Because Jesus has the best plans for us.
He's got the best plans for us. Excellent. And where do we read that?
For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to propose
prosper you
and not harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future.
Brilliant. Thank you, Dylan.
Why should we follow Jesus? Because he loves us and because he has the best plans for us. We might have plans for our lives. We might think they're good plans, but we can't see around the corner. Jesus knows the end from the beginning, and he knows the best plans for you and me because he knows us better than we know ourselves. And he said to us, he has these plans for us, not to harm, but to give us hope. Last one. Why should we follow Jesus? Who's got John 14? Caitlin. So, Caitlin, why should we follow Jesus?
Jesus is the way to heaven.
The way to heaven? And did he tell us that?
I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me.
Thank you very much, Caitlin. Why should we follow Jesus? Because he is the way. You sang this already, didn't you? You sang, because he is the way to heaven, and he's the only way to heaven. So if we want to know that we're safe in this world, because Jesus will be with us, even when we go through difficult things, and if we want to know about how safe we will be when we die, so that we'll go to heaven and not to hell, then we have to follow Jesus. Some people will say, there's lots of ways to heaven. Don't believe them. Jesus said, I am the way, the only way, and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me, says Jesus, but everyone who trusts in him will get to heaven. He is the way to heaven. So boys and girls, let's listen to Jesus, let's trust Jesus, and let's obey Jesus. As he says to us, what does he say to us again? Pardon?
You must follow me.
Pardon?
You must follow me.
Thank you. You must follow me, says Jesus.